Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
The internet's full of true crime podcasts. More and more are added to the list every day. Figuring out where to start or where to go next can be overwhelming. Have no fear, I'm here to help. I'm Bob Ruff, and this is the place to find your next True Crime Binge. All right, after only a record 15 minutes of technical difficulties, we were able to get the show on the road. I'm joined today by Greta and Rainey from the Two Lies and a Crime podcast. Ladies, how are you doing?
Good.
We are amazing. I'm so excited to be on your show.
I'm a little hungover, but this is great.
I'm not hungover, but Rainey is.
We're joined by the lovely Erica Cantor, who's in, is that a different closet than last time? I feel like there's more flannel involved this week.
We're bringing out the fall weather clothes, Bob.
There it is.
No, same closet.
Is your boyfriend so organized that he has like, that he like moves his fall stuff out during the summer and then moves it back in?
I completely made that up. Nope. We just both have way too many clothes. No, but remember, Bob, my mom listens to this podcast, and she did inform me last week that she was very happy to hear that our closet was clean and tidy. So you gotta, you gotta keep the illusion going.
Did you tell her what I told you to tell her?
No, absolutely not. It was her birthday this weekend, Bob. I couldn't do that to her.
It's for her birthday. So Greta and Rainey, Erica told me that her mom listens to the podcast, and her mom, I've met her, is lovely. And so I told her to tell her that I said, "How you doing?" Just like that. And
literally.
Yeah.
Not good. Yeah.
I would have done that.
You know what? I don't know what I'm thinking. She listens. Hey, Mrs. Cantor, how you doing? There it is. Yeah.
Fair. I knew that was going to happen.
Yeah. So Greta, this is super weird. So only Rainey's is on my screen. Greta is off camera.
Uncomfortable for me. So that's lovely. This is a great.
I was wondering how did you guys, when all this shit was going on, like how did you guys decide which one of you was going to be on the camera?
I think that was Rainey. Rainey was just like,
her computer was freaking out, so I just went, shut it down. Let's stop this. Well,
she has the cool background. So.
She has a much better background than
except
I do.
It's kind of freaking me out. And because I have to look sideways so that you can hear me, I feel like I'm like kissing the mic. But I don't know. It's this weird experience for me. Thanks.
Speaking of the mic, not to be a news here, but it is like I feel like we're hearing you through Greta's mic and not yours. Or so you are very, very quiet. Apparently, Rainey was drinking last night and maybe she came in there and messed with the setting.
Yeah.
Well, we usually record on Sundays, and I had problems with getting home from my trip, and we got delayed, so we decided to do it last night since we were going to be getting up early this morning, and we don't normally get super smashed on our show because she always has to go home at the end, and we were like, it's a sleepover, we can totally go all out, and we kind of did.
I drank like the whole bottle, I think, last night myself.
Yeah, you did.
And then you got the second bottle, so anyway. I'm really excited to edit this next episode. It's going to be great.
Right, yeah, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. So Greta, I had the pleasure of meeting you at CrimeCon. Did I meet you, Rainey?
No, you didn't.
It was Obsessed Fest that we met at, yeah.
Obsessed Fest is where I met you, is what I met.
Yeah, I'm glad I didn't. I'm so terrible with names and faces. I specifically remember Greta, but I'm like, it's shit. There's two of them. I don't remember there being two of them.
There was not.
And now we conveniently can't see Greta at all.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. There's still only one. Just Greta's voice.
This is how I think we like it. I mean, that's the name of the podcast, right?
Yeah.
It's two lies.
Yeah.
So, you know, one of us is a lie.
Yeah. So. And this was, you know, so you guys have a new podcast, just came out in July of this year. You've got, what, 13, 15 episodes, something like that out so far. And Greta was just telling me about it, and I was like, what a cool idea. So we'll go out of order from normal a little bit. Like, tell us about this whole concept of your podcast and whose ridiculous idea it was, because I love it.
We've been talking for a long time about doing a podcast, mostly when we're super drunk, but we can never come up with an idea of what we wanted to do. And then Rainey.
It was my idea, actually. I got drunk.
You see a theme here.
You see a theme. We're not alcoholics, I swear. This was out of months.
It doesn't sound like that at all.
So I was talking to my stepdaughter, and she really likes true crime as well. And I was telling her about a true crime story I just watched on Netflix. And I said, so many lies in it. And I just could, like, embellish really easy when I have a little liquor in me, apparently. So we started talking about, well, what if we, like, I was... I was going to say I was driving, but I wasn't. She was driving.
So I got super smashed and was driving home. I had an epiphany.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I was making my one phone call. I thought, you know what would be fun?
And I was like, this is a great podcast idea. I'll just lie in it. No, but I do this thing where like a serial killer kills 15 women. I'll embellish and be like, he killed 57 women, and like go into this whole elaborate story afterwards. So that's how it was birthed. We don't always accomplish. We try to limit to just two lies in the conversation.
Sometimes Rainey's like, don't come at me. I don't think this is true, but.
So it's two lies in a crime, two lies in a crime.
Right.
And is it the listener's job when they listen to then write into you and try to identify which parts were the lie and which parts were the crime?
Yes.
Yeah, so. Our whole premise is the true crime community is so, like, exploding right now. And so if you know, there's a lot of people who claim that they know their true crime. So if they know their true crime, then they should be able to pick out the lies or at least do their research to find the lies and then, you know, let us know what the lies are that we've put into the story.
Well, we say they should be able to do the research,
but we don't prepare.
You have to get a single email. No one's written. Nope.
Yep, we're trying. We're getting there.
We're trying.
You know, it just occurred to me that I have my notes on the case that you guys want to discuss today, and are there lies riddled in these notes too? Have you guys snowed me into believing the elements of this crime?
I don't even know. What
no, I mean the ones that I gave you. Well, we actually wanted to change it. We wanted to, like, throw you for a loop and be like, we have another story we wanted to do instead.
Listen, it would all work the same to me. I just did an interview yesterday with Kayla Waters, and I was – like, she was asking me about true crime stuff. I said, here's the – you know, the funny thing about me, the true crime podcaster, is that I'm not into true crime at all. So I don't know anything – because she was, like, asking how I got into the West Memphis 3 case, and it was actually a funny story that I was like – I was doing my podcast and people kept mentioning the West Memphis 3 case. And they're like, yeah, that's very similar to like West Memphis 3. And I'm like, I know, right? Had no idea what that case was about. I was like, maybe I should like read about this case because like, I have no idea at all
about anything.
Yep.
I have been so impressed by all the things that you've managed to be able to do. It's super impressive, and it makes me almost feel like I just have this measly show that we're making up lies.
Listen,
and
he's
actually changing the world.
Yeah,
we all had a measly show at one point, and then sometimes people just enjoy it and start listening. You know, that's the whole idea behind this show is, you know, there's it's and I the reason I wanted to have you guys on is because it's a unique concept. Everybody's looking for their jam. What is the, you know, the thing that they enjoy and want to listen to? And it's a very unique. You know, a lot of us are all doing the same thing. I mean. I was pretty early in the game before people started doing this whole investigate wrongful conviction podcast. But similarly, you guys are new to the where I'm going to make shit up about a crime. You know, the only person that's been doing it before you was Nancy Grace. She's been doing it for years. She just makes stuff
that
up about crime.
That is 100%
accurate. Never thought of it that way.
Yeah.
We could big be. Nancy Grace fan. I am.
She's a big fan.
She is. I wonder if her kids or if her twins are still walking around with Truth and Justice stickers on their backpacks because Becky at one of the crime cons, they came up to our booth and Becky stuck big true crime or Truth and Justice stickers on their backpacks.
That's amazing.
I don't know very much about you guys. That's Erica's fault. She didn't do her research. This is what I know about you. I have three bullet points. It says you've known each other for over 20 years. Greta met Rainey through her ex-husband, and you guys have already made this quite clear. Both of you like wine. That's what I have.
That pretty much sums it up. Thank you very much.
Yeah. That's
all right. Well, thanks for joining us. It's been great.
Listen to our show, Two Cries in the Light. Thank you.
I don't know what state you guys are from or even what region of the country that you're from. So that'd be a good place to start.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. Erica did not do anything wrong. She did her job right because we our whole thing is about clues and trying to figure out stuff. So even like our TikToks, right.
She figured out absolutely nothing.
She learned that they made three Instagram posts, so I guess that'll do. No. All the stuff that she learned is on the podcast.
Yeah.
So they're like little bits here and there and here and there.
Like we have TikTok and we don't show our face. We're trying to be elusive. We know everyone knows that we're from Arizona because we've talked about it on the podcast. But for the most part, we try and keep our...
I think you can kind of narrow down where in Arizona. They've determined I live by a jail.
You live by a jail in Arizona.
Okay,
now we're getting somewhere.
And Greta's an hour away. So there's like little tips and things like that.
See, I was gonna play the guessing game and I was going to say Arizona, New Mexico, or California. And let me tell you why. The reason is because you're wearing a sleeveless shirt, a tank top of some kind. Mm-hmm. I'm like, so they're somewhere warm, but they don't have an accent. So they're not from like the deep South. So I'm thinking Southwest was where I was going.
Good guess. Yeah.
Wow. It's almost like you do investigations.
I know. Right? Yeah. It's like that's your job or something.
It's also very easy for me to make the guess after you already told me the answer. I could tell you. Right. I could tell you anything. I'd be like, I think you're from Phoenix. That was going to be my guess, and you nailed it. Who knows, right? So, Greta, you met Rainey through your ex husband. How does that happen? Still buddies with the ex?
She won me.
Well, I mean, I think. Well, yeah, because he introduced us when we were engaged, and then. We kind of had this like spread out because my ex was in the military. So I moved all around the world and kind of vaguely stayed in touch with Rainey. And it wasn't until closer towards the end when my marriage was going down the tubes and I was getting a divorce. And then we rehooked up and Rainey was a long truck driver, or a long haul driver. And they needed a place to crash when they would come into town. So I was like, come stay with me. So then we became super close after that. And then the divorce happened and I was like, I don't care. I'm keeping Rainey. And my ex was like, okay. And she's friends with my ex still too. So it's fine.
Well, that's nice. Is it in the decree that you get Rainey in the divorce?
Yes, it is specifically written in there that she is going to be solely my friend.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. You know, and I was just going to say, I was going to guess that Greta, you probably used to be married to somebody in the military, and I thought Rainey is very, I mean, obviously an over-the-road trucker. It's, I mean, I'm batting 1,000 so far.
I feel like you're guessing right after we say stuff.
Yeah, that's pretty
good job with that investigation.
No, see, I had guessed it before, but then you jumped the shark on me, and you told me ahead of time.
All right. Okay. Let's
also,
play this
that's
game.
Not what jump the shark means. I learned recently.
You just recently found that out?
Yeah, I hear people say it all the time, so I just like put it into my vernacular, and I'm like, "You're really jumping the shark there." And then my wife, like, just recently, she's like, "I don't think you know what that means." And I said, "Go fuck yourself, first of all. I know exactly."
Poor Henry Wrinkler.
And then I like rolled over in bed that. And. Yeah, I took my phone, rolled over in bed and Googled it, and I'm like, oh, it's from when the Fonz jumped the shark, and it means that they've gone too far. They've run out of ideas, and they've gone too far.
Yep. Okay, so wait. I'm gonna play this game. So tell me about myself. Go ahead. Let's do this.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Well, I mean, what else is there to tell? You know,
exactly.
You're over the road trucker. You're single. Had a child out of wedlock though years ago. who's in their late teens now. And that's fine. You know, it's okay. Don't let you know. There's nothing wrong with that.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No.
No. You don't do trucking anymore. You moved into logistics. Actually, you do work in logistics.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You must make a lot of money then.
I do make a lot of money.
logistics is one of the underpaid, I think, areas, jobs to have in the country right now. So, yeah, I mean, you're still coming in barely under minimum wage, but you don't have to travel anymore, and that's nice.
Yeah. That's nice that I don't travel anymore?
Dude, yeah, you don't have to, you know.
I don't think I like this rainy very much. nice chat.
Really, based on the fact that you guys record every Sunday, but you were able this time to record on a Monday and you're here on a Tuesday, I've kind of determined that you probably don't do the over-the-road trucking anymore unless it's 3-4 days a week type of thing. Doesn't seem to add up to me. So I'm guessing you're not doing the over-the-road trucking anymore. So how close am I?
You're a little close on that. I do work inside the safety area now in an office,
right,
but on the weekends, I still drive a truck and still take it out over the weekend.
But not over the road, right? You're home, you're back every day?
No. Most of the time, I'm back every other day on the weekends. So it takes the whole weekend.
Basically, I'm
She's
right. So you work inside,
by the time she
which
comes
is essentially
to my house
logistics. And
right. But I did not birth any children ever. So good, nice try there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was.
I have four adult children though, but I didn't.
She didn't birth them.
Well, see, that's where my signals were getting crossed. I was sensing it was like four step children equals one. You
one child.
Regular child.
One birth child. Yeah, one
child. How the adult stepchildren going to feel about that?
And technically, you didn't have those children. Like, super they weren't close, birthed when you were married, right? So,
right, yeah. But you said I had a child out of wedlock. So I'm just kind of
listen,
you basically
let's
said
not
four
let, get caught
stepchildren
up in details.
apply to the whole, you know, birthing out of wedlock.
Listen, if you just finally, I was waiting for you to pick your hand up so I could say if you were married or not, and I finally see the, had you done that earlier,
yeah,
then I would have.
I am married.
Up on
yeah,
that.
That's true. Yeah.
Married with four stepchildren.
Yes.
Well, how's that going?
Well, great. They're all adults.
Yeah. Everybody's out of the house.
And we got the kind of the fun stuff. So I didn't actually raise them. And now they all call me mom. So
nice. That's very nice.
I got and, the easy step.
And Greta, so wait, did you take a day off work for this?
Me?
Yeah. Oh, it's early there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like 7 o'clock. I told them I had a doctor's appointment.
Oh, let's just hope they are not true crime binge listeners.
It won't matter.
They're very
it's a different Rainy and a different Greta.
Yeah. And right, yeah. And I work freaking 80 hours with them. I'm allowed a couple hours.
Yeah. Plus, they're only paying you that minimum wage. Like,
right. The minimum wage. Oh, yeah. God. I forgot about that one.
Yeah.
Ouch. That, like, guts me. So guts me. Right.
You know, you don't have to take that shit. Not anymore.
Right. And Greta, at my age, I'd make more than what.
Greta, what do you do?
I work with my partner in web development. I basically manage him because he's not good at office stuff. So I do all the office stuff. I'm also a notary, right. A traveling notary. And a photographer. Wow. I'm a jack of all trades. And then I also have a podcast. So, and a mom. I homeschool my kids. So it's fantastic.
It really sounds like you're lying.
Yeah, it really does sound like I'm lying, doesn't it?
Like you just yeah. So you just described four jobs. And again, you have plenty of time to sit here and record this podcast this morning. So it seems like maybe all those aren't accurate.
No. I mean, you could say that they're not, but yeah, that's what I do. So there's 24 usable hours in every day.
That's my line.
That is Rainey's philosophy, and I am trying to live by that.
24 usable hours. Hey, I feel it. I mean, I feel like it's more like 18 usable hours in every day, but you know, I try to sleep a little bit.
Who needs sleep? I don't need sleep. I can just go.
Right, you can drive all night. Listen, I don't know how... Yeah. How you guys do the drive? Like I can't drive when the sun goes. It doesn't matter how much sleep I've had. If I could go to bed at 8 o'clock at night and wake up at 6 a.m. for a trip, and when I start driving, it's dark out. I'm like falling asleep at the wheel until the sun comes up.
You know, I learned a trick from truckers. I think. Correct me. I don't know if this is actually a thing, but I looked it up a long time ago because same problem as Bob. I fall asleep easily in cars. So is it true, sunflower seeds? Like, is that a trucker thing that truckers do, is chewing on sunflower seeds to keep themselves awake? Because it works.
Yes. It actually has vitamin E, and that will also wake you up, along with vitamin B. Huh. So or bananas are a lot at truck stops because the potassium will wake up your muscles as you drive.
Oh, nice. See?
What do you do? Tips. Like, do you just... You just shop back the car out once a week to get all the shells?
Or something.
Spit it out the window.
I'm just picturing Erica like driving down the road like she's got like a dip a chaw in, spitting into a cup the whole way there.
I drove nights for a good 9 years, and I always just used like music and roll down the windows, but then it always like really helped to have like anytime I ate sugar or junk food, that kind of stuff, my body would fall asleep. So I actually, when I became a truck driver, I lost 60 pounds because I focused on only foods that would make me stay awake.
That's
wow. Yeah. Cause what I do when I'm tired is I do the same thing. I go to the gas station and I'll get a 5-hour energy, which my buddy Mike always, because we used to travel a lot together when he worked for me, always referred to as a 5-hour power. Get a 5-hour energy. I would slam my 5-hour power and then get a Starbucks triple shot energy drink and a Snickers bar. And then I would eat the Snickers bar.
Yeah.
I mean, everything that all says energy to me, the Snickers, they satisfy.
No.
They do. They say
what you just did was crash your body. Yeah. Well, what you just did was bring your body to a high level of caffeine so that it crashes really, really hard in about 2 hours.
Yeah, it would be like for like an hour, I'd be like wide awake. And then I was like, couldn't. So I'd stop and get another 5-hour power and a triple energy drink.
No, you're doing it wrong,
and a Snickers bar.
You're doing it wrong. You have to, with the 5-hour energies, you have to drink half of it. So you get like 2.5 hours of energy. And so then about 2.5 hours later, you finish the other half.
Is that how the math works? It literally,
I'm not even shitting you. Read the label. It literally says it on the label. Check it.
It says to drink half of it?
It does say it on the label.
I didn't even know.
It says that they recommend you drink half of it now, and then you wait a little bit, like 2.5 hours or 2 hours-ish. And if you start feeling like you're having a little bit of a slump, you drink the rest of it. You've been doing it wrong.
Wow.
Yeah.
You learned something.
She's completely
what kind of
correct.
Nerd come reads a
every,
label on a 5-hour power?
Erica and Rainey's driving tips.
I'm sorry, what? You really want driving tips on this? This is a great episode.
This is all about our podcast. Yeah. It's fantastic.
Yeah, and that's what, you know, tune in every week to Two Lies and a Crime to hear driving tips. And
so excited about this one. Yeah.
Greta, how old are your childrens that you are homeschooling?
Well, I homeschooled all of them, and then my oldest daughter ended up going to college, and then I was like, oh, this is super easy having two kids. And then my second daughter was like, I'm tired of living with everyone, so I'm going to graduate at 16 and move out of the house. And so she did just recently, so now I have one who's left in the house.
Oh, my God, how'd you get her to do that?
She did it all on her own. She was working full. She did everything online. She did both her junior and senior year together. And then she worked full time at Taco Bell and saved all of her money. And then she was just like, peace out, suckers. And then she just left. And I was like, okay, see you later. Good luck. Just call me and tell me you're not dead every once in a while.
I have a 16 and a 17-year-old, and I would love that if they would just, you know.
Well, she's the only one out of all my kids who like take after me. So I appreciated her motivation, her determined. She's very much like me that way. So that's why I was just like, go for it, kid. I wish I would have had the opportunity to do that when I was your age. So she's living her
and
best life.
How old's
life.
The baby?
He's 14.
And he's so a couple more years and he's out of there.
Hopefully. he's the one who thinks that he's going to live in my basement, basically. that's not what I hope for, but that's what I think is going to happen.
Yeah, I have an 11-year-old that's the one that's going to kill me. Like the other, I joke, like my 16 and 17-year-old are both like super easy. Like they're both good students. They just do their thing. They're, you know, there's like no issues with either one. And then that little 11-year-old. That little son of a bitch left. He's left his instrument, his band instrument, on the bus now 4 times in 3 weeks.
Oh my gosh!
I would kill him.
4 times.
That sounds exactly like my son. Your son and your kid could literally just play together. They'd be the same. It's amazing.
Oh yeah, this kid is killing me. He's like we live way out in the country. We're literally the last stop, and the bus drivers take their buses home, don't go back. And it, like, and we live down, they drop him like a half mile from our house. So I get to drive down there and pick him up, which is going to be a problem at 3 o'clock, by the way, Erica, in that interview. We'll figure it out later.
Oh.
but I pick him up. And so like the bus driver's dropping him off and then they're going home and he gets off the bus and he comes walking to the truck. And I'm like, where's your xylophone? Because of course he plays the fucking xylophone.
Of course.
I'm like, where's your xylophone? He's like, oh man, I left it on
so
the bus
again. So are
you like
again. Chasing the bus? Are you chasing the bus down? Trying to,
I've done
you know,
that twice.
Hysterically, I need my son's xylophone. Oh, yeah.
I've done it twice. The first couple times I like call like the transportation office and then they call them on the radio and then they look, they're like, yeah, it's there. But they went home. So they'll like, you can get it here tomorrow morning or something. Or he likes to do it on Fridays. So it'll be like the next day. And then that was such an ass pain that the last 2 times I've just like, he gets off the truck without his instrument. And I'm like, God damn it. I'm like, just get in the truck. Let's go. And we're like flying down the road and like flailing down the bus and begging them to pull over so we can get his instrument back.
Oh dear. I kind of see like I think he knows what he's doing if he's doing it on a Friday because he doesn't want to prep to practice over the weekend. So he's like, oh, whoops, I left my xylophone on the bus.
That kid ain't practiced that instrument a day in his life. I don't know why the fuck he even brings it home. Brings it home every day, insists. He's like, well, the band director. And then won't leave it in the truck. Like, I'm just like, just leave it in the back seat for the morning. And he's like, well, they said that if you leave it in the car, it'll get cold, it'll damage. I'm like, it's not a trumpet. It's a xylophone. It'll be fine. No, Dad. It has to come out. And he lugs this thing that's as big as him out of the truck into his room just so we can lug it back in the neck. Sorry, the kid, my blood pressure's going up.
Yeah. That's hilarious. See, I don't feel like I've missed anything by not raising my kids.
No, no. We had our oldest. We had four. Our oldest was a bit of a struggle in high school, but got through and is doing well now. And now we got the two easy ones in the middle that are kind of doing their thing, and then it's like, then this little bastard that like he's gonna kill me. He's gonna kill
Seriously,
me, and he's never leaving.
Yeah, my I've always told people that if my son had been born first, he would literally be my only kid because he is so hard. He just is exhausting. Yeah, I love him dearly. He's super smart. He is hilarious. He's very creative. I love all those things about him, but he's just like, I don't need school. I don't want to grow up. He's like kind of smart. Like, you know how a lot of kids are like, mm-hmm. I want to grow up and be an adult. And he's like, I don't want to be an adult. And being an adult sucks. I'm going to stay a kid forever. And I'm like, oh, damn it. You figured it out already.
My little one is just oblivious to everything. Like he just like, well, he'll come home and I'm like, dude, what? You have three missing assignments in English class. Like, what are you doing? And he's like, well, we did those in class. I'm like, right. What the fuck were you doing? Like, when they were doing them in class. And like, he'll be, I'm like, you're grounded. Give me your phone. You're grounded until you catch up these assignments and da-da. And then like a half hour later, he'll walk in and be like, Dad, I just did a front flip. I'm like, what?
He's like, yeah. You did a what?
And I landed front it. Flip. I did a front flip. I learned how to do front flips. I'm like, that's like you can't even do you like you take his phone away from me. He's like, that's fine. I'll find something else to do besides my schoolwork. It's cool. Anywho,
it's ironic that you just brought that up because last night before we started our recording, I looked at my son and I'm like, you have 16 missing assignments in PE. PE, what are you doing? It's PE. How do you have 16 missing assignments in PE? Yep. He's like,
that's
I don't know.
Bullshit.
Like,
that's what they do.
I think he said, I don't even know how to find it.
Oh, that sounds accurate.
Is the assignment, I imagine the assignment in PE is just like getting dressed and participating like, in PE.
Yeah. Well, he's at that home. So, I mean,
go around the block.
He's just like, nah, I'm not gonna do that. I don't think so. That sounds terrible.
Right under the bleachers.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
All right, so let's get into this pod. So the podcast is Two Lies in a Crime. And we're going to talk about your case you covered in episode 2, which was titled Not a Soccer Mom. Also known as the Minivan Mom Bank Robber. This happened in San Diego in September through November of 2009. One of you guys, take it away. Tell us about this case.
So Roxanne Penick, she had become addicted to painkillers after her last child. And so in order to try and keep and maintain her habit, she was taking most of the family money. So she fudged the numbers at her job and got a $4,000 bonus. And she thought she got away with it. She thought she was able to cover her bills and have her continue her addiction. And then her bosses found out and they were like, there's a discrepancy here. And she didn't even flinch. She's like, yes, I stole the money. I'm sorry. What do you want me to do to fix it? And she was just like,
that was me.
Really honest about it. So,
but I just landed a front flip in the front yard.
Yeah, exactly.
Yay me.
So they agreed that they would not press charges if she agreed to pay all the money back. So she drove home. She went to the bank that night and someone had robbed the bank. And while she was there, she was calling her husband, like, super freaking out. And she's like, someone's robbing the bank. And then all of a sudden she stopped and thought, she's like, wait a minute, someone's robbing the bank. And they got away, literally drove away on a bicycle. They rode off in a bicycle. And she's just like, and they got away with it. So she's like, I think I can do this. So the next morning she took her kids to school, and on the way home she robbed a bank.
But wait. She robbed her neighborhood bank.
Yeah,
one around her block.
Yeah.
The one she banks at.
The one that she banks at, yes.
They're like, hey, Roxanne, how's it going?
Right. She got a BB gun, and she put on a really creepy mask to do it this time. And she made a bigger scene the first time, and she kind of was like pointing the gun in people's faces and asking for money, and they gave her the money, and she felt so bad that she was making all these people scared with the gun. So she, like, when she's running out of the bank, she's like, I'm really sorry, because she felt so bad that she was like scaring people with this BB gun. And she only managed to get like $800. So she's like, crap, I guess I'm gonna have to do this again. So then she went to another bank that wasn't that much farther away, and this time she just did it like on her cell phone with sunglasses, slipped them a note, got the money that way. And she only got, like, I can't remember. It was not a lot of money. Out of all four bank robberies, she only managed to get $2,000. So, let's see. The second one, she had taken – her and her husband had gone to visit a friend who had just had a baby. She shows up. She takes some pictures with the baby. And then she's like, you know what? I got to pop out for a minute and run an errand. I'll be right back. So, she goes and she robs the bank. She comes back and she – ends up still hanging out with the family and the baby and posting it on Instagram. And then she goes home.
That's a great alibi.
I know, right? She's so casual about it. I would be a nervous wreck. I don't know how she did it, but.
Seems like robbing a bank isn't as hard as, like, it's like easier than robbing a liquor store.
Yeah. It seems like after I've heard this story, there's just a lot of bank robberies out there. It's pretty fascinating that I didn't really think there would be that many, but apparently there are quite a few.
Can I jump in here?
Yeah, go ahead. Okay. Rainey, sorry. Rainey has something to say.
So you kind of ran over her first bank robbery. Uh-huh. Do you remember she like walked out of the bank and started walking toward her neighborhood? And somebody from the bank followed her and was calling the police, telling her – everything, telling the police where she was going. And she didn't even look backwards to see if anyone was following her. She walked right into, like, there was this wall, like a retaining wall for her neighborhood. And she jumps over the wall. And that's where they lose her, because she goes to her house.
They can't find her.
So the police just are like, she lives somewhere in here.
Yeah. And there's like helicopters going around the neighborhood. They've shut down the schools. They like locked everything down because someone just robbed the bank. And she runs into her neighbor. And her neighbor, she's like, what's going on? And her neighbor goes, well, someone just robbed the bank. It's a small little 5'2" woman. And then goes, hey, that could have been you. And Roxanne goes, yeah. I gotta. Actually, so she said, I just ran into some money, so I'm going to go pay some bills now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. She wasn't even good at it and still pulled it off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like just the police she went over a wall. Can't imagine where she passed.
Yeah. Can't find her.
What are you going to do? She went over a wall. I don't know.
Guess we better go back to the police station.
We had a local credit union here where I live. They ended up shutting down and moving because it was like where it was situated. It was like on the main drag through our town. But right behind it was like some woods. With like a neighborhood wound through the woods, and like three times in a year, people kept robbing the bank because they would rob the bank and leave, and they would just go into the. They could park their car like anywhere and be able to like run through the. And they finally figured, they're like, we just can't stop people from robbing this bank. Like, they just, I don't know what we could do, but they continue to rob the bank, and they park their car over there in that neighborhood, and moved. They literally moved across the street.
Right. Oh, God.
Maybe if we go to the realtor's office now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, just so they didn't have woods behind them, because they're like, that seems to be
like they couldn't like, put up security... a fence or like.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like, they couldn't put security.
Build... Apparently. The problem is, though, if they had built a wall there, imagine if the bank robber got over the wall. Then they're like, well, what are we going to do now?
They're gone.
We'll never
find them.
Yeah. So how does she ever – she finally gets caught, right? And she was even on a TV show.
So she – the last time that she robbed the bank, she was just so flippant about it that she just parked her minivan right in the very front of the – of the bank.
And it was Bank of America.
It was a Bank of America, which is like a very well-known, highly secure bank. She's just like, I'll rob this one. It'll be fine. She gets the money, but they put the they end up putting the ink dye and the tracker in.
No, that was the third time.
That's the third time. Sorry, the fourth time. They were like right on top of her. They followed her on the highway. They pull her over and the cop comes out and he says, excuse me, ma'am, do you know why we pulled you over? And she's like, yes, because I robbed four banks. He's like, you robbed how many banks? Excuse me? Like, he just thought it was going to be the one. And she was, and she had all of her, she didn't even keep the same note. She had like four different notes in her cup holder. She didn't even hide the evidence. She just like, I did it. This is all, I did it all.
That was 100% me.
Yeah. And I don't condone going and robbing banks, but I do appreciate that every time that she got caught, she's been blatantly just honest about the whole thing. Yep, that was me.
Oh, yeah, it goes right back when she got caught at work.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They just said it was a discrepancy. She's like, yeah, because I stole the $4,000.
Yeah,
sorry.
That was me.
I mean, just.
That's correct. So I don't know where Rainey just left. I don't know what's happening.
She just up and gone.
And she's the only one I can see. Like, she just, I walked off camera.
Staring off into space.
Yeah, we're just
she's
staring.
Like, I'm done with this.
Yeah, staring into space. So I guess we're done. She's back now.
My battery on the tablet is running low. And so I think we're going to lose you if I don't plug it in.
No, you'll be fine. We're about to wrap things up. I do want to know, though, it sounded like what you were saying was that in her third bank robbery, the one where she didn't get caught, they had a GPS tracker and a dye pack in the money,
yes.
And she still didn't get caught?
No, she caught it. Like, as soon as she got in the car, she opened up her purse and she saw that – or the bag that she had put the money in. She saw that it had a tracker in it. So she basically had to throw the whole bag out the window, and she didn't even make any money off of that one at all because she didn't want to get caught.
Oh, my God. I was picturing like the Barney Fife Police Department where she was like – like they stop her pulling into it. Her face is like covered in blue dye and they're like, do you have any idea about this? She's like, I don't know. I have no idea who robbed
even that
bag. Yeah, exactly. So give me an example.
I think that's
so,
one of my favorite cases that we've covered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The
and
sad
in that
thing
story.
Is everything you just said was completely true. That's not where
I
the
know.
Lies
we didn't make it.
I was
kind of
that's what, was there a lie?
Yeah. Yeah. So if that's all the true stuff. So, like, give us an example of, like, what would you mix in there as lies?
Well, on this particular one, she embellished the sentence. So she only went to jail for 3 years and 8 months, mm-hmm. but Greta said that she went to jail for 8 years and 8 months.
That's one lie.
And then the second lie was that she didn't get divorced, that she stayed with her husband, which is completely not true.
Yeah, he divorced her in jail.
Yeah.
Listen, I don't want to tell you guys how to do your job, but if it were me...
We've gotten better. That was the second episode.
Yeah, that was our second episode. We've gotten a lot better, for sure.
That idea I had about the dye pack exploding in her face, yeah. Like, that goes in this. Like, you might want to re-record this episode, actually. It'd be like, when her neighbor stopped her and was like, it could have been you, like, you need to add that she's covered in blue dye. Yeah, like, she's like, it's crazy. I don't know.
The neighbors side-eyeing are like,
I thought the neighbor stopping her was going to be the lie for sure.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
I think that Greta's sadly completely an honest person. It's only me who's a horrible liar when I get drunk.
It's literally hard for her.
She did. She was like, I don't know where to put the lies in.
3 years and 7 months. It was 4 years and 7 months. What do you think about that?
I write out the whole entire story, and then I do this every time. You think I'd learn by now, like after our 15th episode. I write out the whole entire story, and then I'm like, oh, crap, I'm supposed to put lies in this. Damn it. And then I have to go back, and I fret forever. Like, I don't know it's such a crazy story. What am I supposed to – but – I'm getting better.
You have a hard time. I am a hot mess, and I watch like a 25-minute television show and go, let me tell you this story. So there's plenty of room to add lies.
Well, this has been a lot of fun. Their names are Greta and Rainey, and the podcast is called Two Lies in a Crime. Check it out. Could be your next big true crime binge. Very unique, very fun. And ladies, this has been a blast hanging out with you guys today. I hope that, you know, your audio works so everybody hears it.
Yes, I'm so sorry about all of that.
Thank you so much. This was really fun.
Yeah, I'm so grateful that you were able to do this. Thank you again, Bob.
Yep, you're welcome. All right, thank you guys, and we'll talk again sometime soon.
All right, have a great day.
Crime Binge is an NBI Studios production and is distributed by Audioboom. Produced and edited by Kelly Behrens-Brink, our production manager and co-host is Erica Cantor. Music and show artwork was created by Shane Yoder of PutThemInASong.com, and episode artwork is created by John Hayes. Our website, TrueCrimeBinge.com, was created by Katie Ross of CreatedInTandem.com. If you're a listener and would like to recommend a future guest or a podcaster that would like to request an interview, you can do so right on our website. And again, that web address is truecrimebinge.com. If you're enjoying the show, please do me a huge favor and take a minute to rate and review us on iTunes or whatever platform you're using to listen. Make sure you give us a follow on social media. We can be found everywhere at True Crime Binge. And thank you so much for listening. And make sure you tune in next Wednesday morning for another podcaster, another case, and another True Crime Binge.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.